All right, our next case, 11-1423, in re the application of Daniel Paul Pinion. For the appellant is Mr. Brazeau.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. My name is Jim Brazeau, and I represent Mr. Pinion regarding the decision or the recommendation of the Board of Commissioners on character and fitness. It's important to start out to emphasize that the applicant is not here to call into question whether or not he should be allowed to sit for the bar at this time. The only issue that the applicant brings to this court is the recommendation of the board that he never be allowed to apply to sit for the bar based upon the evidence that was presented before the panel. The board candidly recognized that its recommendation in this instance was unusual. And there was a sentence in the board's recommendation that I thought explained what really was driving the board's recommendation. And it's on page 7 at the bottom of the page where the board stated, "Lastly, while one of the strengths of the profession is its willingness to recognize rehabilitation, to allow candidates second chances sometimes not afforded by other professions, it should not turn that strength into the weakness of bringing or being a dumping ground for those who have lost the right to engage in another profession." This court has never adopted an absolute ban on applicants who have been banished from another profession sometime in the distant past. There are instances which have been cited in the brief where this court has looked at the merits of the applicant as that applicant is situated at the time the applicant applies.
Counsel, you believe that we have the power to do that?
Absolutely, you have that power.
This is a question of whether we should do that in this case.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're arguing that his past transgressions should not be a basis, but would you address what the board seemed to be equally concerned with is his past 10-year history of failing to really appear to rehabilitate himself in any form or fashion, and his failure to acknowledge any responsibility for those 15 years of transgressions?
Yes, Your Honor. I would point out to the court that the record, the evidence is that for the past 12 years, the applicant has not engaged in any type of misconduct, professional or personal or criminal whatsoever, following his conviction. It is also from the record clear that Mr. Pinion has not engaged in any type of abuse of drugs and had been evaluated by the Ohio Lawyers Assistance Program, who found Mr. Pinion to be cooperative and honest during that evaluation. The evidence is also that the probation officer for Mr. Pinion, who testified at the hearing, he indicated, or she indicated, that the applicant was embarrassed by what had happened to him and that he had done everything he could to try to straighten himself out. The record is also undisputed that the Toledo Bar Association, who spent the most time evaluating Mr. Pinion and who participated in the hearing before the panel of the board, wherein the recommendation of the panel was that the applicant not be allowed to sit for the bar at this time, but be allowed to sit for the 2013 bar, the Toledo Bar Association is noticeably absent from this proceeding and did not file a brief in opposition to the applicant's objection as to the recommendation of the board not to ever allow him to try to reapply to the bar. Likewise, the panel, who was in the second best position, if you will, to assess the applicant's demeanor and the degree of his taking responsibility for his action, likewise specifically recommended that he be allowed to reapply to sit for the July 2013 bar. So I would submit that when you look at the evidence and you look at the past decisions of this court, wherein the court did truly apply the extreme sanction of saying to an applicant that no matter what the future may hold, we find that you will never be able to demonstrate the degree of rehabilitation necessary for you to take the bar. When you look at this past Supreme Court decisions, they are extreme and clearly don't come close to approaching this particular situation.
Counsel, is your client permanently prohibited from getting his pharmacy license?
Yes, Your Honor. He is.
And why is that? They don't have a method for rehabilitation and reentry to the pharmacy profession?
I can only go on what the record is, Your Honor. I'm not familiar with the regulations or the law pertaining to the pharmacy board. My understanding is that once the pharmacy board has made its determination and the appeals have been exhausted or not perfected, that decision is final, as far as I know. But what I would submit to the court, just likewise in the case cited in the our brief, there was a teacher who had engaged in inappropriate behavior, was banned from becoming a teacher. This court, under the right circumstances, allowed that applicant to take the bar and sit.
Counsel?
Yes, judges.
What's he doing right now?
Excuse me?
What's your client doing right now? What's your client doing right now?
Right now, he is employed, working at an airport facility.
And he's finished law school?
He did, Your Honor. He completed law school in 2010, and he's been attempting to be allowed to sit for the bar.
Okay. I think what struck me in reading the report of the board was his explanation for what he was doing while he was a pharmacist. It wasn't that, I had an accident and got on some pain pills and got hooked and on and on. His explanation was that every pharmacist is a pill popper. And that seems to me to be really troubling in terms of his failure to acknowledge that he developed a problem. I know we're hearing that he's solved that problem, but it sounds like there'd be a question about that if he looks back on what his past life involved, and his explanation is it's a industry-wide phenomenon that everybody who's exposed to these drugs and have them readily at hand just can't resist abusing them.
Your Honor, there was testimony to that effect. You are correct. But there was also testimony from Mr. Punyon that recognized that he acknowledged that he was at fault for the situation that he put himself in. It is, to some extent, difficult when one is asked to explain how it was that you find yourself in that circumstances, not to have it sound as if you are, by the same breath, rationalizing or explaining away your behavior. And I believe there is a component of that here. But I would emphasize that in this instance, the Toledo Bar Association and the panel, who was there to sort of take a look at how is this guy coming across to us, did not reach the conclusion that the board in its totality reached. And when you look at the evidence that's before the board and before this court, it pales by comparison to the situations where the court imposed such a draconian and justifiably so, in certain circumstances, extreme remedy of
our obligation is to protect the public, and we don't want to admit people who don't respect the law. Your client's been convicted on multiple felony offenses, and troubling though those are in the past. as a law graduate, he indicated he didn't know much about the bankruptcy of his own home.
Your
Honor.
Despite
the fact that summons comes and says you are named as a defendant in a lawsuit. And he told the panel, that's my wife's problem.
Your Honor.
That's disturbing for a lawyer to take a statement like that. Don't you agree?
I think it can be disturbing, and it is in part why the applicant is not pursuing or seeking an appeal regarding the recommendation that he not be allowed to sit for the bar at this time. But financial difficulties and protection of the bar, I'm not advocating that there's no, that the standard should be that we should take a look at the applicant and not be cognizant of protecting the public. But protecting the public means also recognizing and adhering to what this judicial system has long held dear, that we judge the merits of a case on the merits of the case. And we don't allow any absolute position be the dictating factor overriding everything else.
Counsel, there's something else here as we evaluate these things. He already has two degrees that require a significant level of intelligence and work ethic to achieve. And I think this is a universal truth. It certainly isn't in my personal experience, and I assume it is in yours. That not everybody you went to law school with decides the practice of law is what they want to do after they get out of law school, some right away and some later on. But that that accomplishment of having become schooled in the law is of value to many employers for many kinds of things. So it doesn't seem to me that not being able to practice law is some sort of death sentence for the rest of your life. That this gentleman has pulled himself up from a serious problem that he got himself into. He has a law degree, and perhaps he ought to be looking at it from a different perspective, and that is, instead of looking this is the forbidden fruit, and I just have to have some of it, that I represent talent, and I've turned my life around, and I have something valuable to offer a wide variety of employers in a wide variety of capacities.
And certainly, as Justice pointed out, a law degree can potentially be marketable in many arenas. But Mr. Punyon has spent extraordinary effort to initially rehabilitate himself to law school, to successfully complete law school, and be involved in this appeal process because it has been his dream to be able to practice law. And I know that would come across selfishly because we come back to this public perception, but the public perception ought to be as well that when the judicial system looks at an individual, we look at the individual's merits as they stand at the time. We don't ignore the past, but we don't allow the past to dictate to the exclusion of what the situation of the applicant is at the time that he's appearing before the court.
Well, according to the report from the panel and the board, his present circumstances are problematic. His ability to take responsibility is problematic. His inattention to detail in very important matters in his own personal life is problematic. So I'm presuming that they coupled the current situation with the past performance, convictions, drug activity, et cetera, and decided that this is not somebody we want to take a chance on.
And to that, Your Honor, I can only say that this court's prior decisions, where the court imposed the ultimate penalty, that we will never even allow this individual to be considered in the future for a position, to be one only imposed in extreme circumstances, that the facts of this case simply don't merit. When you have, you know, the local bar association, and you have the panel, neither who spent the most time with Mr. Punyon made the recommendation that he never be allowed to sit for the bar. And when you consider the facts of the other cases, cheating on the bar, lying about it, representing to the court that your attorney while your application or your appeal on your application is pending, you know, the circumstances where this court has said you could never demonstrate to us in the future, no matter what may happen, that you're allowed to sit for the bar. This case, the facts of this case simply don't warrant the imposition of that sanction.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Thomas.
Please, the court. My name is Michael Thomas. I was appointed a special investigator by the Board of Commissioners to represent them here today. My understanding is that the Toledo Bar Association recommended that Mr. Punyon's current application be denied and made no recommendation beyond that. In fact, then the board, when the board determined that it would not approve his taking the next examination, then I think the Toledo Bar felt that it did not had not taken a position on the permanent bar, and it felt like it had gotten what it wanted then with the applicant not opposing the bar on taking the next examination. But I just wanted to make a couple fairly brief points. One is the board is clearly not taking the position that once someone is disqualified or barred from a profession that they are inevitably and in all cases barred from applying to the bar. I don't think that they want any kind of automatic rule like that that would limit their ability to make worthwhile recommendations or that would limit the discretion of this court. The board also does not think that there should be an automatic rule that everyone gets a second chance, but rather the circumstances underlying the first incident should be considered by the board and by the court, and that in some circumstances second chances may be warranted, and in other circumstances they are not. The board believes that in this case another chance is not warranted for a variety of reasons. Applicant concedes in its brief that they have a hard task here, a difficult challenge to prove that he should be allowed to sit for the examination. There is something unique about being barred on ethical grounds from a profession, as happened to the applicant in this case. Someone has entered into a profession. They have solemnly sworn to uphold the ethical standards of that profession, and then in that context have failed. We would submit that's a little bit different than someone who at some moment in time makes some mistake in judgment or some error of that sort. There is a weight that goes with agreeing to be in a profession, and we do not think that the applicant in this case treated that with the weight and the dignity that it should have had.
Mr. Thomas, is this case unique because Mr. Punyon has been disciplined by the pharmacy board and then as a result of the convictions of crime ultimately permanently removed from the pharmacy board such that he can never be there? Is that what makes this so different, or do we look at this as an individual who, like others, have substance abuse problems and is trying to work his way through those, even with our OLAP program? I mean, it's hard for us to get our arms around what we should be focusing on, given our responsibilities with respect to admission of all persons to the Bar Association. So do we focus on the pharmacy board activities, or do we focus on his current inability to handle financial affairs as exhibited by the bankruptcy, or what is it in your view that we should look to?
Well, I think it's both. I think that what happened with his pharmacy license is a red flag that someone that committed themselves to that profession then failed to keep those responsibilities. But as I said, the board does not believe that that means that someone should automatically once and forever ever be barred, and the court did carefully consider what's happened since then. I mean, the important thing, this is not something that happened a year ago. The revocation of his pharmacy license was, I believe, 11 years ago. So when we look at the testimony that he gave at the hearing before the board and the answers to the questions that they raised, we're talking about someone 11 years out, 11 years after this happened, is making sense of it and saying what it meant to them. And the board, as you can see from their report, it's very clear that there are unusual, to say that Mr. Punyan is rehabilitated, there are unusual aspects of his responses to these questions. He does not simply take responsibility for what he did, even if you just take the convictions for the drug offenses. He pled no contest, not guilty, for whatever that means. But more importantly, he doesn't say that he pled guilty because he committed the crime. In fact, he denies that he stole the 1,800 doses of narcotics and stimulants that he was accused of, but says that he was stealing smaller amounts of pills here and there for his own personal use. But he didn't plead guilty because of that. According to Mr. Punyan, he pled guilty because he missed a court date. He was not advised of a time to come. He was told he was going to be held in contempt if he tried to go to trial. And he offers this 11 years after the event as an explanation for why he pled no contest to these charges. So I think the board could fairly say this is not someone that has used the ensuing 11 years to look at what happened, to accept responsibility for the things that should be taken responsibility for. And that permeates, you mentioned the financial matters. Those are more signs, but again, I don't think that the board is saying we're going to do this to someone if they're not on top of their financial information. But again, they're looking at that 11 years. They're trying to see where the applicant has come, if anywhere in that time, where he stands, whether he does deserve a second chance. And figuring into that, as has been pointed out, there is a remarkable lack of interest or lack of knowledge about his own financial affairs. His own bankruptcy in 1997, he professes to have no idea how much debt was discharged. His wife's current bankruptcy, he seems to know nothing about whatsoever. But beyond that, as they admit in the applicant's brief, he has a heavy burden going forward from the position that he's in. But the applicant did not come into the hearing with, this is the employment record, these are the places I've tried to work, this is why it didn't work out. These are the charitable things I've done. These are the public service things that I've done. These are the things that I've done to try and rehabilitate myself. There wasn't any kind of a really positive attempt to make those kinds of showings at all. And I don't think the burden is on the board then, in that instance, to have to justify that they do not believe that a recommendation for taking the bar exam again is proper. The board has limited information anyway. So the board took the story that the applicant told, again, 11 years after the incident with the pharmacy board, and they noted that there are a lot of things about it where he's not accepting responsibility. And I mean, we could go, even the bankruptcy, he supposedly filed for bankruptcy because someone told him that he had to do that. There's instance after instance. He, in noting his former employment, he notes a place and believes he's going to get a positive recommendation in the law firm where he worked when he was in law school. And then it comes back and he gets a very negative thing from that. And he says, well, it must have been personality conflicts. There was a manager there and she had these issues, whatever. Over and over again, it's never the applicant's fault. There's always someone else to blame. Even the whole pharmacy culture thing that you pointed out here before, I mean, that may have been an answer that the applicant may have had for himself 11 years ago. But at this point, if he wants to be a member of the legal profession, he wants to show that he has that kind of responsibility, I think it's time for him to admit that not all pharmacists take drugs, and that it was his decision to do so, and it was a bad decision to do so, and he needs to understand the reasons why that happened so that he won't make bad futures in the future. Now, this is the kind of thing I think that the board expected at the hearing, and it's not what they heard. The board even went so far as to question his credibility at one point in the report that they submitted. So we would submit basically that, again, I, on behalf of the board, I believe that the board's recommendation is fair, and I think it's based on accurate information. It's up for this court to draw the lines on where it's going to draw the lines on these things. But we don't think that there should be an automatic second chance, and we don't think there should be an automatic permanent bar in the circumstances of this case. it was up to the applicant to use the ensuing period and to use the hearing to show why he deserves this opportunity, and the board doesn't believe that he did that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel, you've used all your time. You may take 30 seconds to sum up.
Yes, Your Honor. Once again, just a brief correction. There was testimony about public service that Mr. Punyon has been engaged in as part of the record. He's been involved in some activities in that realm. There was also testimony from one of the lawyer who he had worked with as a paralegal for approximately a year. So once again, it comes back to where I've indicated before. Admittedly, there is a mixed bag in terms of what Mr. Punyon has done and not done. And there is a mixed bag about when he tries to explain the past, does he sufficiently acknowledge that the past doesn't matter, he's responsible for the situation he finds himself in. But when you look at the totality of the facts, it simply doesn't rise to the level for an absolute bar. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision.